Hello, welcome to Growing Wild, sponsored by Infinity Foods here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. I'm Charlotte Petz, and on this month's show, we're going to be talking plastics in our waterways and in our seas. We'll be hearing from Claire Potter, who has launched Plastic Free Pledge, Natalie Fee of City to Sea, and the paddle pickup crew, Bex Band and Erin Bastian. But first, let's have Charles Trenet singing his ode to the sea, Le Mar, which is sea in French.
La mer qu'on voit danser le long des golfes clairs a des reflets d'argent. La mer, des reflets changeants sous la pluie. La mer.
Oh, a croony start to the show. That was Charles Trenet and Le Mer. I wanted to start off with somebody who is singing wonderfully about the sea, because this whole show is kind of ode to that, really, and how we can protect the marine life that is within them. And basically, it's all about plastics. So I want to start with a few facts that Claire Potter gave me. She's coming up, her full-length interview is coming up in a few moments. But just to get home what we're dealing with here, I just thought having these four things, they really stood out to me, and they kind of set the tone for the rest of the show. So this is Claire with four things that I found really quite shocking.
Unless we have incinerated it, every single piece of plastic we have ever made on this planet is still here. I think one of the wonderful quotes is somebody said, you know, so we've dug up a fossil fuel to frack it, to add stuff to it, to mould it into a plastic spoon, to ship it from one side of the world to the other. And that is cheaper and easier than just having a stainless steel one that you put in a washing up bowl. About 8 million tonnes of plastic per year globally end up in our oceans. It is absolutely staggering, and it equates to about a garbage truck's full of plastic per minute. 80% of marine litter comes from land. We know it's coming directly from land. It's not coming off a boat. It's not a remnant of something else. It is coming directly from land.
So there you go. It's quite strong, isn't it? And that first one, of every single piece of plastic, unless it's been burnt, still exists. That was the reason when I heard that. That's why I wanted to make this show. I am going to play out the full interview from Claire. She's a woman of many talents. She's done so many things. Primarily, she's an interior architect at her studio, Claire Potter Studios, and she specialises in sustainable design. She's a lecturer, and now she's a marine litter campaigner. So I spoke to her about her latest project, the Plastic Free Pledge, and why she decided to create it.
So I decided to do something with regards to plastics a little while ago. I've become a regional rep, which is a volunteer role with Surfers Against Sewage, back in October 2016. And that's brilliant, because it means that I can help with beach cleans. I can help talking to people about plastics and marine plastics in particular. But it always felt like a bit of a reaction to something, because you're cleaning the beaches and it's great to show people what's there, but then you know that the next tide's going to come in and wash a whole load of stuff back in again. So it felt a little bit of, you know, running around and chasing your tail. So in the studio capacity, because we do sort of design and research work and campaigns form part of that, we thought, why don't we do something that is a proactive thing rather than just a reactive thing? So creating some sort of campaign to educate people, but also a call to action. So that's why we started the Plastic Free Pledge. And the idea was to try and get individuals and organisations, predominantly in Brighton to begin with, because, you know, that's where I was born and that's where the studio is based, and trying to get them to think about their use of single-use plastics, either as an individual or as an organisation, and then also the different steps that could be taken to try and reduce the amount of single-use plastics. And we targeted straws as our first point of call, because we use plastic so much in our everyday lives, but some things are more unnecessary than others for most people, and straws is one of those things. So
yeah, I saw a clip of a kid actually trying to describe why we need straws, and he thought about it for quite a long time, and he said to solve the problem of putting the cup to our face. And when you hear it like that, you think, gosh, it really is pretty ludicrous that we use them at all, actually. So
it is. Yeah.
So, yes, the eradication of them, or at least, yes, the alternatives, the paper or stainless steel, it just seems like a very simple thing to do.
That's what we're really interested in, those behaviour change and material and design switches that actually means that you eliminate the problem at source rather than just being reliant on people and volunteers doing beach cleans to pick it up once it's already escaped.
Yeah, it's getting to the source. It's exactly right. So what's happening with the Plastic Free Pledge? You're launching soon, is that right?
Yes, so we started off in the city, speaking to a few people that we know that were already trying to transition to being plastic straw free, as well as people who have been doing it for a little while. And the Tempest, one of the pubs on the seafront, they have been plastic straw free for about 18 months. So we spoke to them to sort of figure out how they did it, any opportunities that they found, what were the barriers, so then we could talk to other people about it. And you can go on the website now and see the venues that are already been signed up prior to our sort of big launch. And then what we've got coming is that we've got a big announcement that's coming all in the next sort of week or so, where we've got some absolutely fantastic organisations that are not only local but are national and international as well, that have come on board to say, yes, we are on board. We want to try and reduce our reliance on single-use plastic. And we want to be with you to say that the hashtag we're using is straws are for suckers. so we've got a huge announcement coming from say, this, what we're calling our flagship five. But what we're really keen to do is, it's not just about huge organisations and businesses and restaurant groups. It's, you know, a small cafe on the seafront, all the way through to an individual, all the way through to large international groups. Every single person is going to make a difference to this.
Yeah, it's for us to say no straw, thank you, as well, isn't it?
And then definitely,
they'll start listening to that. Yeah. So tell me more about the plastics in the ocean. And I mean, what kind of numbers are we looking at here?
Well, the numbers are really scary, actually. So it's estimated that about 8 million tonnes of plastic per year globally end up in our oceans.
8 million tons. It's almost too much for us to comprehend. I mean, I don't know what that looks like, you know.
Yeah, it is absolutely staggering. And it equates to about a garbage truck's full of plastic per minute.
Wow.
So that is globally.
Into the ocean. That's not how much
is
being generated. That's just how much is getting into the water.
That's just how much is being generated, right? Or it ends up being in the water in different ways. Of course, that's a global figure. And what we need to remember is that in the West, we have certain steps which allow us to recycle our waste, deal with our waste, whereas maybe in more developing countries, quite often rivers and streams are used as a means of getting rid of waste. The infrastructure is not the same. It's not as connected up as maybe we have over here. But the fact is that once something is in the ocean, plastic in particular, and marine litter, when we talk about marine litter, it can mean anything from plastics all the way through to fishing stuff, all the way through to metals and everything, every material. But 80% of marine litter comes from land.
Wow.
So we know it's coming directly from land. It's not coming off a boat. It's not a remnant of something else. It is coming directly from land. And all of those connections, the streams and the rivers, are key, as well as our coastlines, and tackling that. So tackling it at source. And plastic in particular, it's such a good material that unless we have incinerated it, every single piece of plastic we have ever made on this planet is still here. And we're still making more and more and more plastic every single year. So it's growing exponentially, our manufacturing of plastic, because it is so cheap and it is so available. It is the cheapest way of making things. And because we live in such a single-use throwaway society where, you know, it's, I think one of the wonderful quotes is somebody said, you know, so we've dug up a fossil fuel to frack it, to add stuff to it, to mold it into a plastic spoon, to ship it from one side of the world to the other, and that is cheaper and easier than just having a stainless steel one that you put in a washing up bowl.
Wow.
And you think about it in that capacity, you think, yeah, that's quite bonkers, actually.
Yeah.
And once it gets into the environment, particularly in the marine environment, nothing degrades plastic-wise. It just photodegrades. So it breaks into smaller and smaller and smaller pieces through the action of the waves and UV light. And then it ends up being what a lot of people are probably now starting to hear of, like a microplastic.
Yeah.
So these microplastics can be literally microscopic, but they are still plastic in form. And because plastic lasts for such a long time, I mean, we think possibly 600 years in a marine environment. We don't know because we haven't outlived it yet. Mm. They hang around for a long time, and all of the chemicals that are floating around in the ocean as well, which are hydrophobic, so they don't want to be in the free water. They want to stick to something solid, so they will attach themselves to the plastic. So these little bits of plastic can become almost like little chemical bombs full of pollutants. And the way to think about it is if you have a washing up bowl that's plastic and you do a spaghetti bolognese, say, and you've washed up your spaghetti bolognese bowl, and then you get that sort of greasy red film on the outside. Exactly. So that's because it's a hydrophobic element. So all of the bits of pasta sauce and stuff doesn't want to be in the water. It's oily, so it wants to stick to the plastic. That's exactly what happens in the ocean, but with things a lot more dangerous than, say, spaghetti bolognese. And then if fish start to eat that, those chemicals can then go into the fatty tissues of the fish, and then it has what's called a bioaccumulation effect. So the tiny fish eat the microplastics, the bigger fish eat the little fish, the bigger fish eat the smaller fish, and then it goes all the way up to the sort of size fish that maybe we're eating, sense of like tuna and things. Mm-hmm. And then the toxins that are locked up in the fatty tissues of the tuna, we then eat, and then those toxins translate to us. So it's not just a pollution thing. I know, it's very scary.
Yeah, it is.
Studies that are now linking possibly health implications to
how can there not be
pollution that's come in from eating stuff that's been polluted by plastics.
Are you looking for more volunteers to spread the word, or
definitely? I mean, people who can spread the word about the campaign, that would be awesome. I mean, we've got the website's up and running with loads of facts and figures on. So that's plasticfreepledge.com. And there's a couple of fact sheets that people can download onto their phone, spread the word, mention it to somebody, to share it on their Facebook page. There's lots of stuff that's shareable. And even when you're out and about, if you see a venue that's already doing a great thing and is using a paper straw or a stainless steel straw, just say to them, hey, you guys, do you know about this? Because we can get those venues on our map, and then we can create a database of people that are doing great things like reducing their plastic usage. Or if you've got a pub that you go to regularly or a place that you love and they're not doing it, just say, have you ever thought about using an alternative to plastic straws? The more people that just mention it and say, you know, there's lots of different ways it can be done, and we've got lots of different pathways on the website depending on the type of venue. Is it a cafe? Do you do takeaway? Is it a venue that sit down for meals? There's lots of different options that we can help people with. And the pledge is completely free. This is the thing we were really keen to do, is that we want to celebrate the amazing stuff that people are doing to help reduce plastic waste. So any help that people can give us with regards to just grabbing a couple of facts and going to speak to people would be absolutely incredible.
That was Claire Potter. I just thought she spoke so brilliantly about that, and I learned an awful lot from that conversation. After having read a lot of the numbers and the facts that are around on this subject, I really wanted to bring people on the show who are trying to do something about it. And with her Plastic Pledge, she's very much doing that. And if you're interested in helping out with that, like she said, you can go to her website and hook into that. I will put all of the information on the Growing Wild show page on RadioReverb.com as ever. So do go to that and have a look. If you're interested, if she's piqued your interest, then follow it up and let's try and do something about it. Okay, let's have a song now, and then we're going to hear from two people who are doing just that and have gone out on an expedition to try and pick up as much plastic as they can. But first, we're going to hear from Willie Mason with Oxygen.
On and on and on it goes. The world, it just keeps spinning. Till I'm dizzy, time to breathe. So close my eyes and start again anew.
That was Willie Mason and Oxygen. I'm Charlotte Petch. You're listening to Growing Wild, sponsored by Infinity Foods, here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. Next up, we've got Bex Band and Erin Bastian. Now, these two came together a couple of months ago through their shared interest of adventure and plastic pollution campaigning. Bex has a company called Love Her Wild, and Erin has a kayak adventuring company called Evoke Adventures. They came together and they've created an expedition called Paddle Pickup, which is an all-female kayak from Bristol to London. It runs for 300 kilometres. They've broken it down into three legs. I met them at Bristol Harbour just before they were leaving for their first leg to learn a little bit more about the Paddle Pickup project. The first voice you're going to hear is from Bex.
We're starting in Bristol and we finish in London, and we're going by 300 kilometres of waterways. And along the way we are collecting rubbish, we're carrying out research, and we're raising awareness on the issue of plastic in our waters. And we've split the trip into three segments. And so we've got some women that are just joining us for one segment, and we've got some women that are joining us for two, and some that are doing the whole thing. So the idea is that the team could kind of fit it around their other commitments, and they could come and go for as much as they want.
Okay, how long is the whole thing going to take?
It's going to take 17 days.
Okay, hence wanting to break it up, because that's quite a long slog.
So each leg is 100 kilometres.
And what was the thinking behind just having women doing it?
The thinking behind doing women only is the adventure and outdoor industry is very male dominant. And what often happens is it's very competitive and it's very masculine, and I think it's quite hard for women to kind of break into it, especially when they're starting out. It can seem quite an intimidating and scary thing. And both of us have noticed that when you make it female only, it kind of takes that pressure off, and a lot of women that wouldn't otherwise do this sort of thing feel more comfortable putting themselves in that situation and kind of going forward. So we decided to make it a women only, and also the area of science is also another area that's very male dominant. So it's great to be able to give a group of women a voice in both adventure and science, and to give them an opportunity to kind of express their passions and their point of view as well.
So when did your interest in plastics and now the pollution, the huge problem of plastics in the waters, when did this pique your interest, and how has it led to you doing this trip?
Well, over the last few years, the more kayaking I do, I land on these beaches and I've noticed that the plastic is just becoming overwhelming. I mean, I land on a beach and the first thing I notice is the amount of rubbish that is landing on them. And I mean, you try and clear it up, but there's only so much you can fit in your kayak, and it's just really sad to see it and to know that that's just a fragment of what's floating around in the ocean. And we do need to do something about it. And I think what's quite key is if we raise awareness, and we want to go and speak to kids in schools about the topic, if we can prevent people from flushing things down the toilet or throwing them sort of out their window in the first place, then they're less likely going to make their way to the ocean.
You know, we have problems like ocean acidification and coral bleaching and plastic pollution, and you know, day-to-day life, most people don't even see the ocean or have any connection to it, but it is a massive problem and it does directly affect us. Plastic pollution, it kills wildlife. It costs countries millions and millions of pounds to clear up debris, and also to solve damages caused by the plastic, and also affects tourism, because no one wants to go to a beach that's covered in plastic. And I'm kind of similar with Erin, that I've kind of noticed the last few years, when scuba diving and hiking on beaches, it's just it's a bit overwhelming, seeing how much plastic there is. And the problem with plastic is it never disappears. Virtually every plastic that's ever been made still exists. So the way I see it is, every time I use a piece of plastic and I throw it away, I've just added to that pile that's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm thinking, what sort of world do we want to leave our future generation? Because at the moment we're just leaving them a big mess and a massive problem. And so it's kind of connecting people, making them aware of that, and taking responsibility for what they do. And we're specifically focusing on single-use plastics, because that's something that as individuals we can really work towards, and just stop using plastic plastic bottles, like get a refillable one, and don't use a plastic toothbrush, get a bamboo one. Like, there's small things we can do that if enough people do it, we really do start to make a difference. And the manufacturers will listen to that and notice that change, and then they'll start to produce products that aren't made of single-use plastic.
Yeah, straws, that's a big one, isn't it?
Straws. Yeah. I read that 500 billion straws are used a day in America alone.
Isn't
500 billion. It's just... like, why? And who uses straws at home? We don't need straws. It's so infuriating.
How much do you think you're going to pick up along the way? Have you got an idea?
Too much.
I have no idea.
I don't think we'll be able to collect all of it, realistically. I've no doubt there'll be areas where there's just so much. It would take a full day, like, clearing it.
Right.
But I also hope that there'll be stretches where it has been cleared. Because what's great is people are starting to get groups together to clean up areas and... you know, there are positive changes happening. But I've no doubt we'll have a disgusting amount of plastic.
That's what we're going to do with it all.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you mentioned something else in there about research. What other research is it?
So there's two things we're focusing on. One is the types of plastics. The universities and organisations that we've been collaborating with are quite interested to know, you know, as you go through Bristol, what is it in the waters here? Are there, like, pellets and nurdles, or is it plastic bottles? Or, like, what is it? Because that helps you kind of target and kind of, like, focus in on the problem. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing we really want to look at is understanding public awareness. So we're going to be, when we speak to the members of the public, we're going to ask them some questions about plastic pollution to kind of gauge, you know, what the public knows. Because I think quite often when you're in the circle and you're engaging with people who understand the issue, you kind of have this idea that everyone knows about the problem. Mm-hmm. But then actually it's not the case. So we want to be able to come out of this and say, okay, so people know there's a plastic problem, but they don't understand, you know, the direct effects, or they don't understand, like, what the real issue is of plastic. And then hopefully we can pass that information on to, like, charities and organisations so they can hone in their campaigns and what they need to do going forward.
Mm. And every time you wash an item of technical clothing, about 2,000 pieces of micro
is that right?
Yeah. Microfibers,
like,
are released through the water.
Wow, I didn't know that.
No, I know.
It's shocking, isn't it? Yeah. It's it. There's so many things. Like, who would think that when you wash your clothes, you're putting plastic into the sea? But it's true. And these microplastics, the fish eat them because they look like plankton and they swim amongst the plankton. So the fish eat them, and then obviously the large fish eat the smaller fish, and then we eat those fish. And so if you, you know, cut open a fish, most times you'll find plastic in it. And so that means we've also got plastic in our bodies if you eat fish. Mm. And it's kind of, they're doing research trying to understand the connection between, you know, all the chemicals that come in plastics and how damaging they are to us. We don't even know yet. We're only scratching the surface with this.
Can we have a look at your kit? Have a little walk over
sure.
And see what you're taking with you. So we've got 6 kayaks and a canoe.
Yes.
And why the canoe?
This, I guess, is kind of like our dumper truck for plastic. I was thinking, I land on beaches and there's only so much I can fit in a kayak. So I had to start thinking about how we were going to collect the plastics. And so we're going to put a big box in the canoe, and 2 women are going to paddle it, so that there'll be a bit of a team. And so the kayak's going to be the runners round, and everything that we collect is then going to get in the canoe. And every so often we'll meet our support driver, and he's going to collect kind of the bulk of it from us so that we can start all over again.
And camping-wise, you're doing wild camping along the way, is that right?
Yeah, so we've got tents and we've got stoves, so we'll be cooking all our dinner on little camp stoves. And we've had an amazing response from members of the public who have heard about our journey, and they've invited us to come stay with them overnight. So tonight, for example, we're staying in a church. In 2 days, we're staying in a school. So we've got some really interesting places to camp each night. And some nights we'll just be wild camping. But, you know, it's great staying with people because it's a great way to start, like, a conversation and engage with members of the public.
Yeah, kind of get the word out more and more. Yeah,
exactly. I'm not a kayaker. I've done it a few times in my life before.
Yeah.
And the whole point of this project is that anyone can do it. And so that's kind of a message that Erin and I like to share, is that, you know, adventure is for anybody. And so it's quite important when we put this together that we made it so that as long as you're in general good health and you had a positive outlook, you can throw yourself into it and get stuck in.
I think sometimes it's easy to just let these things pass you by, but if you want to make a difference, we're like, right, this summer we've got to do it. We've got to do something. I never imagined it would be this big. But as ideas sort of grew, it kind of escalated, and we decided that we wanted it to be a really big project and a big adventure as well. Like, it's not just about the plastics. Yeah. Like, these girls have signed up for a really good adventure as well.
So that's Beck's band and Erin Bastian talking me through their trip. You can follow them on Facebook. They've created a page called Paddle Pickup, and they're posting quite a lot on their videos and photos and such like. So do check them out and follow them. I caught up with Beck's a couple of days into the trip, and I'll play that out to you later in the show just to see how they were getting on and sort of the amounts that they were picking up. And it was good to catch up with her. So I will play that later on. I'm going to play a song first, and then we're going to hear from Natalie Fee, who is another campaigner and has created the non-profit organisation City to Sea. But first, let's hear from Billy Ocean and When the Going Gets Tough. It's Billy Ocean and Going Gets Tough. Oh, I felt a little bit like a wedding DJ playing that. But I just thought it was quite apt for Bex and Erin because I do think it probably is quite tough, and, you know, good for them. They're really putting themselves out there and combining their two loves of adventure and campaigning, and do follow them. It's really interesting and they're doing a really great thing. OK, next up we've got Natalie Fee. She has created City to Sea, which is a non-profit organisation, and has already successfully had a campaign which they dubbed Switch the Stick, which has put pressure on supermarkets to change from the plastic core of a cotton earbud to paper. She talks about that a bit more in the interview. I spoke to her on her birthday, so it was very kind of her to do the interview, and I started out by asking her how she got into all of this.
I saw the trailer of the film Midway, which is so many people have seen and really been moved by, and it was the albatross chicks that were dying on the Midway Islands with their bellies full of plastic, and it was something about the scene of seeing, like, my everyday items of plastic inside the bellies of these amazing, so gorgeous and beautiful albatross chicks that were just dying with, like, really, really clear starvation from the products that I was using on a daily basis back then. So it was a massive wake-up call, and it really, really upset me. So I set about doing something about it back then.
Okay, and then that's led to the creation of City to Sea. What do you do within it? What is it?
Well, we're a campaigning organisation, so we run initiatives which inspire a life less plastic. So we do things which can really stop plastic pollution at source, which is what we're all about. So we've got sort of two main areas that we've kind of landed on over the past 2 years, and one of those was Refill, which is our free tap water initiative to encourage people to just top up their water bottles on the go instead of buying single-use plastic bottles. And our other campaign last year was Switch the Stick, where we got all major retailers in the UK to switch from plastic to paper stem cotton buds.
And that's been successful, hasn't it? That's worked.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Isn't that brilliant?
Really fantastic, and it was a really, really great fast-paced campaign that just snowballed. And we ended up working with 38 Degrees, and the ones that were dragging their heels, we then had so much sort of people power and consumer power to then put pressure on the ones that were not coming forth with a positive response. So by the end of December last year, we'd got all 9 UK retailers to pledge to switch by the end of this year, by the end of 2017.
So great. I get goosebumps actually a little bit when you talk about that.
It's really, it's nice as well, because it sort of, it's something tangible. Because whereas Refill is an amazing campaign and very much a sort of behaviour change campaign, but it's quite hard to really measure the impact of that. Whereas with Switch the Stick, we were able to work out through the sort of market percentages that just the supermarkets, so not including Boots or Johnson & Johnson or Superdrug, but just the supermarkets alone, will stop around 320 tonnes of single-use plastic from being produced every year.
Wow, 320 tonnes.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it? You think of that, that's a lot of cotton buds. That's like over 2 billion cotton buds.
Wow. Wow. So, I saw a film that you made actually about, because you're based in Bristol and you were on the River Avon, and just saying how many you'd found on a really small stretch of the riverbank, just of cotton buds. Do you remember how many? It was something
It was insane. Well, I mean, we do regular cleans down there. We tend to link up with Surfers Against Sewage for their big spring and autumn beach cleans. And the volunteers, we're finding on average, well, we were actually, the numbers have dropped already, which is amazing, but we were finding on average between kind of 600 and 800 buds just along a half a kilometre stretch.
Unbelievable.
I know, it was awful.
It's this single-use plastics, this seems to be the one that maybe we can really hone in on and make a big difference with. So, yeah, things like the cotton buds and bottles, you know, the plastic bottles, buying one, chucking it away. The numbers in that, I was astounded with how many tons of plastic get used in producing plastic bottles every year.
It's a shocker. It really is, and the amount of carbon that's used in that process as well. It's one of the big contributors to climate change in terms of the oil, the amount of oil that's used in the production of plastic bottles. And apparently, we're reusing a million a minute of them around the world. And it's like my brain just can't compute those kind of figures. It's extraordinary.
It's vast. So tell me more about the Refill scheme then, which is aiming to reduce that problem.
Yeah, so that's really just to kind of make people feel comfortable about going in and asking for a free refill, and also normalising carrying a bottle, because we want more people to be carrying bottles, because the more people see other people carrying bottles, the more they think, oh, everyone's carrying a bottle, maybe I should be carrying a bottle. And basically people then switch to carrying bottles. And actually there was an article that said that this year was sort of the biggest year for reusable bottle sales, and they had them on like celebrity shows, people were using reusable bottles, and that is really heartening for us. I mean, basically Refill is blue stickers in windows of shops and posters alerting passers-by to the fact that they can come on in for a free refill and not feel uncomfortable or embarrassed about coming in to ask the shop owner for something for nothing, essentially. The idea is that you don't need to carry a full, heavy water bottle around with you all the time. You can just take the bottle up and fill it up and have a drink when you get thirsty.
Okay, and that's launching in Brighton quite soon. It's in several places already.
Yeah,
you've got Bristol, Bradford-on-Avon,
Dorset, Dorset. And down in Bude. Yeah, it was originated in Cornwall by the Beach Care scheme, and we looked at that model and said, well, let's see if we can scale that up and do that on a national level. And so Bristol was sort of our big pilot city. So we're really happy to be bringing it to Brighton. It's been a year and a half in the making, and we've got a great team of volunteers, and we're working with BPEC, which is the Brighton Peace and Environment Centre.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's great. It's cultural change that makes a difference. It's us that makes the difference, isn't it? These things so rarely come from top down. We have to make the decisions, and then the people pay attention. Just like you did with the cotton buds in the supermarkets. They won't make the decision for us. We have to take it to them.
I mean, it would be fantastic if that could be legislated.
Wouldn't it? Yeah.
France are banning the plastic cotton bud by 2020, and actually that kind of thing is something we'd really like to see here in the UK. But you're right, it is about at the moment it's about grassroots change, and people really can make a difference, which is the wonderful thing. With Refill, we've got a free app, so we, as a way to help people remember to take their bottle out and also to incentivize them to refill, we've got a rewards app. So when you refill, you can click that you've refilled and get points, and then you can get different sort of lifestyle, plastic-free lifestyle goodies and things like that. At the moment, it's a stainless steel bottle that you can get. So, and that's also a way of finding your nearest refill stations.
Okay. Yeah, we like an incentive, don't we? We like sticker charts when you're a kid, isn't it?
You kind of,
the grown-up version.
Yeah. And as if saving the oceans wasn't enough of an incentive.
I know, it's not enough. No, I need free stuff. It feels to me, this year especially, my awareness about the levels of plastics that are going into the waterways, into the sea, it's increased enormously. There just seems to suddenly be a surge. Have you been aware of that? Have you noticed that as well, that people are suddenly realising paying more attention?
Definitely, and for us at City to Sea, we're definitely riding that wave. I mean, the media coverage has been fantastic, and you've got Sky running their own, plastics programme with Sky Ocean Rescue, and the Daily Mail got really on board with microbeads, and it's definitely mainstream, which is fantastic. And I think because it's so horribly visual, that it's an issue which people have really been able to grasp, because yes, the facts and figures are there, but the visual evidence is so strong, and that people don't want to see their rivers and their coastlines all strewn with plastic. It is actually upsetting for people to see that. So
things that we can do, very easy things we can do: refill your bottles. Yes. Number one. What else? Things
with the refill thing, I would definitely say refill your bottle, and then with your coffee cup. But I'd say be a proud reuser. When you see other people walking around with their coffee cups, give them a little nod and a smile, and at work, making sure you have your coffee cup and your reusable cup and your bottle are sort of on display, and your reusable lunch things, and it's a conversation starter. So actually, you can be a bit more of an activist as well as doing stuff for yourself. And I think another really simple thing for people that are milk drinkers, and even things like juice, is you can get those things delivered in glass. There are still milkmen, milk people who deliver to your homes, and that for me was massively cut down our plastic consumption at home. And then the other one really is straws. When you're out and about, just getting used to ordering your drink and saying hold the straw, or I'll have a G&T no straw please. It just has to become part of your
order.
I think if you are making the switch, to stainless steel and glass and things that are really durable, and really trying to steer away from the whole disposable culture.
It's brilliant. It's great. Thank you for the work that you do. It's really important, and it's inspiring.
Thank you. I got a birthday card this morning that said, thanks and love from all the fishes.
Oh, that's so nice.
Which is very sweet.
That's something we should all aspire to, a big love from the fishes.
It's an honour.
That was Natalie Fee there from City to Sea. I'll put the links to her website up on the Growing Wild show page. Someone else who's just doing great work in this area. I really want to get in this phone call that I had with Bex just to catch up on how their expedition was going. So I gave her a ring a couple of days into the trip, and they just set up camp and had a pint, well deserved. And I asked her, how long are your days working out to be?
Well, the first couple of days were 9 to 10 hours of paddling. They were pretty full-on days. Just a combination of, a lot of the girls hadn't kayaked before, so getting used to the kayaks and the boats, but also picking up the rubbish. There was just so much of it. So we it took us a couple of days to work out how much we can pick up while still covering 20 kilometres. There's lots.
Amazing, 9 to 10 hour days. Now I'm having to do the questions in between each clip, because when I recorded this, it was at home because it was in the evening, and my bits of it sounded like I was sort of shouting at her from a toilet cubicle quite far away behind a closed door. So I'm just breaking this up and saying the questions and then playing out the answers for that reason. The second question I asked her was there more plastic than they expected?
Yeah, and especially it's very obvious when you get into kind of urban areas and houses. There's just absolutely loads. And in Bristol, Bristol's been the worst so far. tons of plastic and bottles, and you know, the microplastics, we can see it, but we've got no means of collecting it, but you know, we can see it a lot of the time. It's so frustrating. We kept saying we wish we had an army. We need an army in a bigger boat and a lot more time. And even then, I feel it would just be never ending, because just I imagine it just, if you clear it, more would come in. But we're really pleased with the amount that we've collected. We're already collected way over 200 bottles, and along with that, lots of straws and cups and balloons and all sorts of rubbish and junk. We're leaving it better than how we found it, and we look strange because we're kind of kayaked along, and we've got the canoe in the middle with two people in, and then everyone else on the kayak going back and forth collecting the rubbish and putting it in the canoe. So we look a bit ridiculous because this canoe is piled high with plastic. And we've all got marigold gloves on and litter pickers, and everyone keeps asking us, what on earth are you doing? And it's a way to get the conversation started, and we like show them what we found, and you know, we tell them about the problems of plastic, and it's a great way to engage people and kind of show them.
And then finally I asked her how the morale was in the camp.
It's been a tough few days. But everybody's laughing and smiling, and even when it gets to late afternoon and you just want to get to your camp spot and put up your tent already, you know, people are still cracking jokes. And I think that's great. I think that's like the real kind of spirit of adventure, when everyone comes together and, you know, finds like some banter to cheer everyone up. So it's really brilliant fun, really, really great. And we are all so passionate about it. And I think for all of us, it just feels good, like, to be doing something, because, you know, rather than sitting at home, you know that there's this problem, and you know the facts, but to actually be able to get out there and do something, it feels good. And at the end of the day, we feel great because we've kayaked 20 kilometres and we've, you know, been doing it laughing and getting to know new people. But we've actually given something back and done something good.
Given something back and done something good. How brilliant. And just their presence on the water is raising that much more awareness around it. And people seeing them and asking questions and just engaging with the public in that way is fantastic. So I really wish them well. I think the main message we can take from all of the people I've spoken to is that we can all do something about this. It can be the smallest acts that are actually going to make a huge difference. So just saying no to straws, I know that's come up several times throughout this programme, but it is that simple of just saying no straw, thank you, or asking would they be prepared to have paper straws or stainless steel straws or just no straws. Most of us just don't really need straws. Refilling your bottles, we can all refill a bottle, and having these people, these companies that can get on board and show us where we can go without feeling uncomfortable, because I do think that is a problem sometimes, is that, you know, we think we're taking the mick because we're asking for something for free. But if we all just get into the habit of that. And the other thing I felt that came up quite a lot was being proud of the fact that we're doing it, being a proud reuser. And it's this cultural change. It's the theme that comes up time and time again for me. It's cultural change that makes the big change. So as soon as it becomes cool or popular to say, to use your bottles, to refill your bottles, to have your Tupperware on your desk and all of that, then it's those changes that make the bigger changes. And that's something we can all do. So maybe just have a think about that next time you're supping on your G&T, potentially through a plastic straw. Just have a second thought and reject the straw. Thank you for listening. I've been Charlotte Petts, and this is Growing Wild on Radio Reverb. You can get in touch with me via Twitter and Instagram, which are both at Growing Wild FM. You can email growingwildreverb@gmail.com or go via the show page on radioreverb.com and search for Growing Wild. Thank you so much to everyone that came on. I found everybody so incredibly inspiring, and they're all actively doing something about this. Good for them. Thank you for listening. Go well. I'm going to play you out with Under the Sea from The Little Mermaid.
Under the sea, under the sea. Darling, it's bitter down where it's wetter. Take it from me. Up on the shore, they work all day. Out in the sun, they slave away. While we're devoting full time to floating under the sea.